Welcome to the Proper Mental Podcast. Normalizing open and honest conversations about mental health by having open and honest conversations about mental health. Episode 15 of the Proper Mental Podcast, and my guest this week is an author, a podcaster, and a coach, and his name is Mr. Alex Manzi. Alex suffered with depression and anxiety in the past, and he kind of used a bunch of different tools and processes to navigate this period and to come out the other side. And he then started to help others using these, using his experience, using his methods, using these sort of things that he's picked up. And he wanted to build a platform out of it to inspire people, to help people to change, people that were struggling. And that's how his podcast came about. And that led to him publishing a book. And he's a really, really good guy. This is a really good conversation. We chat about his story and how mental health affected him. We talk about his coaching process. We talk about coaching versus therapy and what the difference between the two methods. We talk about his podcast. We talk about what living in the moment truly means, and he gives us some good ideas about how to get more present in life. And we also talk about how we self-published a book during lockdown, which I thought was pretty damn impressive. He's a lovely guy, Alex. He's incredibly compassionate. He genuinely does all the different things that he does. He really wants to help people. He really wants to make a difference in his own way. And I love that about him. And when I reached out to him and asked if he wanted to come on for a chat, he got back to me and he said, I'd very much like to know a bit more. Can you give me some more details? And I really, really liked that. And he's actually, out of all the people I've messaged or emailed or whatever, which is probably hundreds at this point, he was the only one who asked for more details. I either get ghosted, I either get a flat no, or I get a yes. And Alex was the only one who asked for a bit more info. So I emailed him back and I told him what I was trying to achieve and, who else I've got coming up and who else I've spoken to and all this sort of stuff. And he came back and said, yeah, I'm up for it. And I think that really, really showed what type of bloke Alex is, because it just shows how thoughtful he is and how measured he is. And he just wanted to know all the information before he made his choice. And I really, really liked that. And that comes across in this chat. You know, everything he does is really thought through, and he's got a very, very clear idea of his boundaries and his values and his identity, and that really shows. And a lot of the stuff he talks about from his process is really actionable. So, you know, if you're listening to this one and you think you might want to make some changes, then a lot of the stuff he talks about is stuff that everyone can do and that you can start doing right away. So that was really cool. And yeah, I personally felt like I got a lot out of this episode. And yeah, I really appreciate Alex giving me some of his time. So if you'd like to know a bit more about him, you can connect with him on social media at I Am Alex Manzi. His podcast is called In the Moment with Alex Manzi, and you can get that everywhere. His book is called The Search for Clarity, and if you want to buy it, you can go to his website, which is www.thedreamersdisease.co.uk. You can get his book there, you can check out his blog there, you can sign up for his emails, and there's all information about the podcast and his coaching and all that sort of stuff. So it's a great chat, and I hope you enjoy it. If you want to catch up with me, if you look for at Proper Mental Podcast on all the usual social media channels, you'll be able to find me there, and I'm always happy to chat. And if you would like to subscribe and leave me a decent review, then I would be absolutely over the moon. But here is episode 15 with Mr. Alex Manzi. Super.
How you doing? Hi, mate.
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very well. And yourself?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good.
Oh, super. Thank you for joining me today, mate. I really, really, really appreciate your time, Alex. Yeah, very much so.
No worries, man. Pleasure. Be good to chop it up and have a chat.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, for real. Yeah. How's How's things, man? How's your how's life? How's the pandemic treating you?
Yeah, I mean, as well as it can be, I suppose. I'm at that point now where I just feel like I'm a bit weirded out by the fact that we can do stuff again. Do you know what I mean? It's like I kind of like got so used to it. I'm just like, oh wait, we've got options. Wait, you can go to places and have a coffee outside somewhere. Like, it feels a bit weird, but yeah. Yeah, other than that, man, like I can't have too many complaints. This I feel like in the last few weeks, like the whole of the previous 12 months has caught up with me. So I've just been taking it easier these last couple of weeks and just just chilling back into just living, man. How about yourself?
Yeah, very similar, man. Just adjusting, and it's amazing how quick we can kind of get used to being locked in and allowed out and all this sort of stuff. It's pretty weird seeing people, I'm not going to lie. When you walk past someone, like out, pub gardens and stuff, and they're a bit chocker and you think, wow, that's weird. But it's nice as well, man. It's nice that, just people doing that sort of thing again, really, you know? So, it's cool, man. Oh, sound. I'm already recording. So, cool. I'm just going to jump straight in. And this is another episode of the Proper Mental Podcast. And my guest today is Mr. Alex Manzi. And Alex, I want to chat about your work, if that's okay, mate. But before we get there, because you do a lot of really cool, really interesting things, you know, with your podcast and your coaching and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But just kind of before we go there, I'd like to rewind a little bit and maybe just chat a bit about yourself. Because I kind of find in my experience that people who work in the space that you work in, you know, that is very positive space. It's very much about inspiring people and helping people and changing people's mindset and stuff like that. And I kind of feel that a lot of people who work in that area come to work there because they've had like maybe a need for it in the past or techniques that they found beneficial for themselves. So how did you get into coaching and all that sort of stuff, mate?
So it's a really good question, actually, because I spent a lot of my late teens to mid 20s depressed, basically, without realizing I was depressed. Just very negative, very much could never be bothered to do anything, was always tired, just wanted to get home from work and just sit on my laptop and play Football Manager or whatever, or put Sky Sports News on and just sit there all evening, just like with it on, you know? And I got to a point where I was like, I think I was like 25, 26 at the time. And I was with a girlfriend at the time, who's an ex-girlfriend now. And I just had a moment where I just like broke down in front of her. And it was the moment that I realized first for myself what I was going through. It's like the first time I'd almost admitted it to myself in the act of admitting it to someone else. So it was like this huge sense of like relief, but then at the same time completely washed over with like fear, because I don't know what to, like, what do I do? Like, I don't understand. But I kind of got to this point where it's like I didn't want to live my life how I was living it anymore, like in terms of not necessarily the things I was doing, but within my own mind. Because it wasn't a very nice space. Like, I thought, you know, multiple times about, you know, taking my own life and just, you know, that being the kind of the way out of it without, you know, sometimes you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. So you
completely,
kind of, you know what I mean? So this moment just kind of woke me up to that and was like, wow, okay, so this is how I've been living all these years without even realizing it. And then I kind of just from that, I kind of spent about a year and a half feeling very confused because I didn't know what I was doing with my life. I didn't know, like, it's almost like I had to rebuild myself in terms of like who I was, what I stood for, like all of these things, right? It's like, imagine walking down like the high street naked. If that's how it felt, it was like I felt totally exposed. Like, I don't know, like, what the hell I'm doing, like, I don't know what's going on. And I just went on this journey of just like, right, okay, well, the one thing I can do is, you know, start to take on board a lot more things that are going to inspire me. So I started reading more like inspirational books. I started listening to like podcasts. I started inspirational podcasts. I started to go to the gym. I was 28 at the time, 27, 28. I was 28 by the time I decided to actually go to the gym. I'd never stepped foot in the gym before. Although I was always quite fit, like playing football and stuff when I was younger, I'd never stepped foot in a gym or signed up to a gym. So I did that. I started looking into like meditation, and I just sort of like, you know, tried things and just did things that I thought were going to be good for me. Like if I filled my life with stuff that was inspiring, it would spark something inside of me, you know, which is exactly what I did. It was like, it's almost like, you know, when you're, this, I don't know if this is going to work as an analogy at all, but you know, when you're like trying to grow like some sort of plant, you have to like keep the water really moist. You have to keep it surrounded by the stuff that's good for it so that the shoot can sprout out through that. It was kind of the same thing. I was like drowning myself in like inspiration and motivational content and like positivity in the hope that it would spark my own little shoot to come out. And I, yeah, just, and it just set off from there, man. And then off the back of that, then I started the podcast. And then, you know, after a couple of years of doing a podcast, I started looking into coaching. And then, yeah, here we are today.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, man. And like, yeah, really relatable, that whole thing of kind of feeling a certain way, but then having no idea that you feel that way. And then I always think that because people around us are all in similar situations, you know, for a long time, I had a job that I hated and I thought that was normal because everyone I worked with hated their job and we just sat around hating it. So I thought, well, that's what people do. Right. But yeah, when you kind of, yeah, start to, I suppose everyone has to get to a point when it's almost like your brain or whatever taps you on the shoulder and says, "Bah, can't go on like this, mate," you know?
Yeah.
And have that moment. Yeah. So like those changes you're talking of making, that's real like trial and error stuff, man. And was it a straightforward journey for you, or was that sort of one step forward, two steps back type of stuff?
I think it was more of like a time of discovery. Like I was trying to get something out of it in the sense of like I was trying to obviously like motivate myself or spark something within myself, but I was just like enjoying the things that I was doing, if that makes sense. You know, I was quite enjoying going to the gym. So I just continued to do it. I was really enjoying meditation. I was really enjoying the podcast I was listening to. So I had like the same three or four podcasts just on repeat, like every day in the gym, on the train to work, like the same thing in my ears, like reading similar, like a lot of kind of self-helpy kind of, you know, books. And I was just enjoying it. I felt like I was taking so much from it. And then I started to form like my own ideas and like opinions on stuff that worked for me, and it was just kind of like a foundation really of like trying to figure out what worked for me in terms of like making me feel good or helping me to feel better, and then also like what is, you know, what do I want to be doing with myself in terms of work, in terms of, you know, the places that I spend my time, in terms of the people I hang out with, the people that I connect, you know what I mean? I was just sort of figuring all that stuff out. So I didn't really have like an action plan. It was just literally like, let me just take on board all this stuff and kind of see what comes out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool, man. Really cool. Did you, let's have a think. Did you, so when you're coaching, do you, is this kind of what you help people to do with your work, Alex?
Yeah. So I think like people always get this question of like, well, you know, what's the difference between coaching and therapy, right? And I actually went to therapy in that period of, so when I had the breakdown in front of my girlfriend at the time, her mum, funnily enough, was a therapist. So the first thing we did was go downstairs in the house and have a conversation with her mum, even though I could barely speak, and try and explain how I was feeling, right? And then she ended up recommending me to a therapist. So I went to like five or six sessions with her. I can't really remember. It wasn't many, it's a handful. And I just wasn't getting on with it. I felt like the therapy was trying to solve problems in my past, whereas I wanted to look forward and find solutions to what I wanted to create. And I think that's the difference in therapy and coaching, is like therapy, and you know, there's no judgment on therapy. I think it does wonderful jobs for people. Just personally, it wasn't for me at the time, and it's still not for me at the minute. It looks back into your past and tries to solve problems and tries to, you know, understand traumas and things like that, right? Whereas coaching looks forward and goes, well, what do you want to create? What are the solutions we can come up with? And it's a lot more, you know, like forward thinking in terms of the direction that you're looking in, instead of, you know, looking over your shoulder kind of thing. And for me, that's really worked. Like I've worked with two awesome coaches. I've got a mentor who's a coach, and it's just really worked for me, like having taken that approach and even doing it myself, like having a conversation with someone and being like, almost not necessarily in these words, but like, okay, this is where you're at in your life. What do you want to create? Let's see the ways that we can get you there.
Yeah, I love that, man. I love that. That's like, I'm a fan of therapy. I completely agree with everything you just said. And I have spent time in therapy sessions searching through my past for something that wasn't there. Mm. And it was, yeah. And then when I kind of flipped that around and said, all right, let's not worry about that. Let's start to build. Then yeah, things look very, 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 very differently. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think for me, like, I remember there was one conversation with the therapist. I don't know if you had a similar experience, but I had one conversation with this therapist, and she was like an older lady. She was probably like in her 60s, I'd guess. Right. And I was, you know, in my mid 20s at the time, and I'm trying to like talk to her about stuff. And she was trying to like pin this idea of, you know, I had a lot of injuries playing football when I was younger, and she was trying to pin this idea of like a lack of self-worth due to like all of these football injuries I had in the past. And I was just like, nah, this isn't making sense for me. Like, this doesn't feel like that's what is causing anything. It was more of like just feeling a bit lost and wanting to find a direction kind of thing. And it was like, I just felt like I wasn't getting that from it. Like I said, I don't know if you had a similar experience where it was like you're having certain types of conversations in therapy and you're just like, I don't know like what the point of this is right now.
Yeah, definitely. I think I found with me, it was probably the opposite. Like, I was trying to create those conversations because I thought that because I'd watched a lot of films, I thought the way that therapy worked was that I would find something and everything would make sense and everything would go away. And yeah, luckily the guy I still work with now, I've been working with him for like 2 years. And he's very much like sort of getting me away from like the, you know, what you think stereotypical therapy is and trying to reframe it. And I think that's really interesting as well. We had Paul Moore on recently, and he had a really good point, and it's something I've not thought of. And he said that, you know, we're promoting awareness about these sorts of things, about mental health, and it's good to talk, which is great. It is good to talk. He said, but awareness has never been higher. More people than ever are talking, and yet the numbers and the statistics are going up. Like, you know, like, and it just goes to show that you've got to take some sort of proactive approach, isn't it, to like make changes to your lifestyle.
Yeah, 100%. And I think as well, it's like, it's trying different things. I would say to anyone, try therapy, try coaching, see which one works for you. Like, one therapy might work better for you, or coaching might work, but like, it does, there's no right or wrong. Like, at the end of the day, you're going into either of those processes wanting to get something out of it for yourself. So whichever one you choose, which you feel like is the best fit for you, you're going to be determined enough and proactive enough to create the change. Like, the change doesn't come from the therapist. The change doesn't come from the coach. The change comes from you. Like, the coach or the therapist is there to just facilitate the medium of what they do to help you to find your own way, right? And I think a lot of, you know, the coaching work that I do particularly is like, we look like really kind of holistically at like life and just understanding life and looking at different perspectives. And I think that's another thing with coaching is like, and I don't want to make this a coaching versus therapy conversation, but I'm just, you know, from my own experience, it's like there's less rigid boundaries to it. Like, if I think someone's talking shit, I will say to them in a session, I think you're talking shit, because what I'm actually hearing is this. Is this what you actually mean? And they're like, no, that's not what I mean at all. And I'm like, well, this is what I'm hearing. And then, you know, we'll look at the language that they're using and why. And, you know, it's just like building the picture for someone to understand like how they're actually navigating their own thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. I think earlier, you know, you talked about not being able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I think when you're in a cycle, when you've been unhappy, when you've been sad for a long, long time, it does get difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel, the wood for the trees, whatever analogy you want to use. And yeah, sometimes it takes that to, you know, to like break you out of it, doesn't it? And then to have a plan to move forward, because some people are like, right, I'm ready to change. I'm ready for help. What do I do? And I found, you know, again, like, I read a lot of books, I listened to a lot of podcasts, I did all that stuff, and all I did was consume loads of information, and then I got lost in information, and it was more positive stuff than what I had been thinking, but I still didn't know what to do. You still become trapped. So to help someone help you navigate that is really, really cool. Yeah. What sort of people do you work with, Alex? Do you see all sorts of different types?
I mean, I'm not one of these coaches that's like, well, I'm a leadership coach, or I'm a, you know, I don't know, all these different labels that people have for coaching. I'm just interested to find people that I can help, you know. And it's like, at the end of the day, people will work with you if they believe that you can help them. And it's, you don't have to have a niche of like, I'm an executive coach, or I'm a a fear coach, or, you know, like there's so many, and there's nothing wrong with that. Again, no judgment on it. Just personally, it doesn't work for me because I don't, it, even in my own life, I'm not just so anchored in one thing. And I'm sure a lot of those coaches don't just focus on that. They focus on the whole person. And, but I'm not, I don't want someone to come to me just because they have low self-esteem or just because they are not feeling themselves. Like, I want to work with people who want to create something. I want to help someone who's, you know, wanting to build a business. I want to, you know, work with entrepreneurs. I want to work with athletes. You know, there's no, to me, there's no scope. Like, I want to work with doctors. There's no, I don't have a preference really. Like, it's, I'm just want to help people really.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. And how do you, if you're you know, I always think working with people is, it's very energy intensive. And how do you protect your own, Alex, like if you're working with people all day?
That's a great question. I think you just have to be super aware of it. Like, I don't generally start any work until 11. Like, the morning is pretty much me time. Like, I'll get up, like, do my stretching, you know, all my exercise, have my breakfast, have my shower, and really just like do my meditation, a little bit of reading, just have the morning just for me to really like set myself up for the day. And then just being super aware, like I've noticed that if I have 3 calls in a day, like I'm mentally exhausted because it's very like I said, it's very intense. Not because like the conversations are heavy, but because you're just so present in those conversations, it's mentally tiring. So it's just, yeah, like making sure that I'm, you know, if I'm having some days where I'm feeling a bit tired and I'm not fully together with it, maybe just clear a couple of mornings just so I can actually just do me. And, you know, I like to skateboard, like go out skateboarding, or do you know what I mean, just do something for me rather than always feeling like I'm on the grind. Because part of my work, right, is to lead by example. Like, if I'm not able to live and lead by the example that I'm helping people with, then I'm not really helping anyone, because if I can't help myself, I can't help anyone else. So it's about recognizing, you know, that it's not really that good to be on the hamster wheel all the time. Like, and it's funny because this is probably totally off topic a little bit, but I was listening to the TV just before where it was on in the background, and they were talking about, it was an advert for cancer, and it was like 1 in 2 people, you know, get cancer. And I was just like, that's mad, because like that used to be 1 in 3, that used to be 1 in 4, that used to be 1 in 5. Like, and it's like, instead of our, and this is just as a whole, instead of as a society, we look for the solution of like, okay, well, how can we help that, you know, what's the measure to research that we, you know, to help develop care for cancer as an example, right? Instead of going, well, actually, how do we prevent it? How do we, well, what's changed in the last 15, 20 years that the stats have gone from 1 to 5 to 1 to 2? Like, there must be something that's changed. And it's like, just being aware of that for yourself. Like, okay, what are the things that have changed in my life? What are the things that, like, looking for the solution and the preventative things rather than trying to solve a problem is far greater. Because why wait for the problem to happen? Wait for the problem to happen to then go, oh wait, I need to sort this out, when there's ways that you can do things to prevent it, right? And it's like, don't get me wrong, I don't know what the answers are for cancer, you know, I've had 3 grandparents die from cancer, so it's very close to me, like that subject, which is why whenever I hear stats like that, I'm like, this is mad. Like, you know, it's just, why aren't we doing more to look at preventative measures, just again, not just with cancer, but in life in general, right? What are the preventative things you can do in your life? And then looking at that holistically. So like, okay, mental health, physical health, spiritual health, emotional health, like what are the things you're doing in each of those areas? So like when I'm taking care of myself, I'm looking in some way at those 4 areas of my life saying, okay, I feel a bit imbalanced in my mental health right now. Okay, well, maybe I don't need to work so hard, because it's not good for us. Like, I'm pretty sure that the fact that we live in a stress mode 90% of the time is not good for our mental health, for sure. It's probably not good for us, our physical health. It's probably not good for our emotional health. And it's definitely not good for our spiritual health. So it's like trying to recognize the times when you're feeling stressed, when you're feeling anxious, when you're feeling worried, when you're feeling a little bit more pent up than you normally do, and going, okay, well, maybe I need to take a step back from a few things here and just really reconnect to myself. Really look after myself first, so that I can then be the best I can be for other people. And that's the approach I take with my work. If I'm not feeling great in myself, then I'm not able to fully show up for a client. Simple as that. So I have to make sure I put myself as first, as number one, really look after myself, really recognize how to do that, what things I need to maybe shift or what needs to shift in my being, and then go, okay, now I can really help people. Now I can really be of service to people because I'm coming from such a place of compassion and love for myself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like being the change, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
And like you say, yeah, leading from example. And I think that ties in so well with the conversation around mental health, because a lot of people see mental health problems, no matter which, you know, which particular one is your thing, for want of a better expression. But we see it as something that happens to other people. You know, and everyone's got a mind that needs to be healthy. And we know that these things, there's certain things out there, whether it's exercise, meditation, talking, everything, all these things work. And yet we only do them when the wheels come off. Mm-hmm. You know, so people say, all right, like, oh my God, something's going on with me. Now I'm going to double down on all my processes. And then you feel a bit better. And then people go like, all right, sound done. I'll just go back to my 50 hour weeks and that 90% stress level. Yeah. So like trying to, change the conversation, isn't it? And I like, as modern humans, we do that with everything. We just like wait for it to go bad. And that's why, you like talk of cancer, and I know that's like a slightly different thing because there are some uncontrollables there as well. But if all the resources we can control, like if A&E maybe wasn't full of drunk people fighting on a Saturday, that would free up a lot more resource to pump into the cancer things that maybe we could be a bit more thing like that. And it just all one big circle, isn't it, really?
And also, like, even on that, it's like, you know, the cancer thing, for example, again, I'm not an expert in this, but looking at life as a whole, right, we eat a lot of foods that are covered in pesticides. We, you know, we're constantly stressed. We're not active enough. Like, I'm pretty sure all of these things in some way contribute to those stats. They're probably not directly related, because like you said, there are some, but if our bodies are constantly under stress, constantly not being filled with the correct nutrients or the wrong nutrients, of course there's going to be stuff that happens to us and evolves into, you know, something like a cancer. Or like, I know when I'm feeling burnt out, I get ill, like I get sick, because my body's like trying to shut down, to be like, what are you doing, stop. And it's like, that's what I feel part of the problem is like, we're not looking holistically enough when it comes to our mental health, when it comes to our physical health. Like, one of the best things I can do, personally speaking, for my mental health is to exercise. And that sounds counterintuitive, like, well, exercise is for your body, right? It's not for your brain. But it's like, well, no, it totally is for your brain, because you're giving yourself the space, the time when you are exercising, to be totally present. Obviously, there's other things, like when you exercise, your body releases endorphins and stuff like that. But like, a lot of times when I'm feeling not myself, there's an imbalance, right? And that can, and a lot of the times when it comes to mental health, again, I'm not an expert in this, this is just from what I understand, there's a chemical imbalance, right? So I know if I spend, well, you know, pretty much the last 12 months, I haven't been exercising as much as I would have been if gyms were open, I've felt a lot more out of balance than I normally would. I went out skateboarding yesterday morning and I felt fantastic for the whole day because I did something active, because I did some exercise, right? And I'm not saying that's the be all and end all, the cure for like all mental health, but it's being aware that it's not just about, you know, doing the therapy, doing the coaching, doing the journaling, listening to this, listening to that, doing meditation. Like, there's, you have to know what works for you. I know that being active and exercising works for me and really helps me to clear my mind. That serves my mental health. That then serves my, also my physical health. It then serves every other part of my life. So it's like, being aware of those things really helps you to build up a picture of like, okay, I need to maybe do more of this or less of that. Maybe I'm spending too much time in front of my screen and not enough time, you know, being active. Maybe I'm, you know, there's so many different things to look at, and it's so individual to each person, but understanding yourself is the key to be able to then, you know, find those solutions for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose like modern life, it's almost like death by a thousand paper cuts, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like slowly chipping away. But yeah, for, I suppose, all those little cuts, if you can put something back in that space that, you know, that like reconnects whatever's being cut. Because that brings me really, really nicely to your podcast, mate, because it's called In the Moment. Mm-hmm. And So a lot of the stuff you're talking about here, tuning into yourself, learning to understand yourself, learning to see these things coming and understand why they're coming and what to do about them, that comes from being, you know, present, right? And learning to understand yourself. So do you find that through meditation, or do you have other methods, or how do you start that process? Because I think if you start talking about being in the moment, being present, there's two types of people. There's people who understand exactly what you mean and go, yeah, I do that. And then there's other people who go, I ain't got time for that, Alex. Like, I'm too busy to, you know, be present. What does that even mean? You know? So how does someone start to understand that?
So I could give a really wishy-washy answer about spiritual practices and meditation and mindfulness and da 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 da. But the long and short of it is, right, when you're being present is when your body and your mind are in the same place. Simple as that, right? If I'm doing the cooking and I'm thinking about my to-do list tomorrow, I'm not present. You might think you're being present because you're doing something, you know, with your hands and you're cooking and you're focusing on it. But if your mind is thinking about what you've got to do tomorrow, you are not present. Whereas if I'm cooking, or let's just go on to something else, if I'm doing the dishes and I'm really feeling the water on my hands and taking note of the suds as I'm washing up and I'm feeling the heat of the water, my mind is totally connected with what my body's doing. I am then present. So using that as a framework, right? You can apply that to so many things. Again, you can apply that to exercise. When I'm in the gym, I'm not focused on anything else other than that exercise that I'm doing. If I'm on the bench press, I'm focusing on making sure that bar isn't going to drop on my chest. I'm focusing on trying to push it back up, right? Like that's being present. And I think when you truly understand that, you can begin to recognize what's happening. Like when, like this conversation, like I'm totally present with this conversation because I'm in tune with this, right? I'm listening, I'm here, I'm being attentive. My mind is with my body in this moment right now. And that's what being in the moment really is like making sure that your mind and your body are in the same place, do it like connected to the same thing. And again, you can do that through meditation. You can, when people journal, you know, it's very similar. You're writing, but you're getting your thoughts out. When you're exercising, when you're going for a walk, when you're having, you know, dinner with your family, like if you're, again, another thing is that people think, oh yeah, I'm being present because I'm like having dinner with my friends. But if you're spending 75% of the time on your phone, you're not really being present because you're giving your attention is elsewhere. It's not with the people you're with, right? So like a really simple thing that I used to do is like when I had dinner with my friends or my family, I'd just keep my phone in my jacket pocket or like put it in airplane mode. So I didn't even have the temptation to check it and start checking my WhatsApp and Instagram or whatever. Like I'd just sit and be with the conversation. So I think, yeah, that's it really. It's just being connected with your mind and your body in the same place, doing the same thing, focused on the same thing.
Yeah, that's such a cool way of putting it, having them both in the same place. It really is. And I kind of think that I know from like, only my own personal experience, I know now that I spent a lot of time completely not doing that at all. And then once I started to kind of learn about these sorts of things, I started realizing that I wasn't doing it, but still doing it. And then it's like finding the techniques to kind of bring yourself more into yourself. But I had a thing the other night when I was reading my son's bedtime story, and we kind of got to the end of the book, and then I kind of like came back round and he sat on my knee. I'm reading to him out loud, and yet I have no idea what's going on in his book. My mind was doing all this other stuff. It's incredible, really, how that happens.
Yeah. And do you know what? Like, again, I'm not trying to be or sound like some sort of high monk or like the Buddha or something. Like I still have moments every day where my mind is totally elsewhere from what I'm doing, but it's being conscious of that, because the moment that you recognize that your mind is not present is the same moment that you bring your mind back into the present. So that just having the awareness of it is being present. It is living in the moment. If you can, like there, for example, you're reading the bedtime story to your son, the moment you've realized, oh, actually, I don't have a clue what was just going on there, you've brought yourself back into that moment. So like having the awareness of it is a step into becoming more present again.
I suppose really with everything that's gone on with the pandemic and stuff, particularly the first lockdown, a big one when it was dead sunny and a lot of people felt like their lives were changing, I suppose there was an element of that, wasn't it? All those things that stop us from we were taken off autopilot in some respect and forced to get involved in some of these things in ourselves, right, and work things out.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I found a lot of people were looking inwards during the first lockdown, because like you said, there was a lot of distractions that were taken away from people. You couldn't, you know, go and, you know, drown your sorrows down the pub after work. You couldn't go out and distract yourself, you know, at dinner with your friends. You were faced with a lot of these thoughts and these feelings that a lot of us don't process normally, because they're so easy to ignore and push away and find a distraction so that we don't have to deal with them. But when you're faced with them, it can feel really overwhelming, because it's like, you know, if I was to give you a shove on the shoulder, your first reaction is to want to shove me back, right? It's the same with your feelings and your emotions. If you're pushing away certain feelings because you and only you have labeled them as negative, those emotions and feelings are going to push back at you at some point, right? So it's like, if you're able to really sit and be with how you're feeling, which is what a lot of people were going through in the first lockdown, was having to go and sit with and be with these feelings and these thoughts, it allows you to just understand them better, allows you to process them better, allows you to just be more aware of them rather than always like fighting them off and trying to push them away.
Yeah, man. I suppose like if it's the first time you go swimming in the sea, it's choppy as fuck. You ain't gonna go swimming in the sea again, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Was it during because you've got a book as well, Alex, and
yeah,
you got that done and out in lockdown. Am I right in thinking that? Yeah, was that your project? Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So I was very fortunate that in January and February 2020, that was last year, right? Yeah, 2020, I was traveling, right? Before obviously everything went to shit. And while I was away, I was having many conversations with people. And one of the friends that I met, she was saying to me, like, you should write a book. Like, you've got so many like things that you talk about and, you know, wisdom, for want of a better word, that you can share. Like, why don't you write it all in a book? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I could, like, I'd love to at one point one day. And I was like, yeah, do you know what? When I get back, I'll probably start to work on it. Cause I knew that I was going to be doing a lot more kind of remote working, right? I wasn't, you know, tied to a 9-to-5. So I could create time to sit and write, basically. And then what I realized when I got back is I already had like over 100 bits of writing on my laptop, from like old blog posts to like old email newsletter write-ups to like random bits of writing that I hadn't put or done anything with. So I basically went through all of those and picked out, I think, around 40 in the end that really fitted into the format of what I wanted to create in this book about trying to understand what, you know, being happy is all about. And then once I got them, I kind of whittled them down. I kind of merged a couple of the writings into one chapter and ended up with like 27 chapters, I think, for a book. Mate. And I just basically, I think I only wrote two new ones in the end. I think the very last one I wrote, which is on stillness, and there was another one, I can't remember which one it is now. And then I just kind of went through the process of like, well, I could go to publishers and stuff like that, but I want to get this out now. I'm very like in the moment, you know, a bit too much sometimes. And I was like, right, well, let me find a place to print it. Let me design the pages. Let me design the cover. And I just basically did it all myself. I found somewhere to print it, paid for it all, you know, published it all via my website, and then just started to like put it out there, like via like my, you know, through, you know, telling people about it through the podcast or like Instagram, whatever. And then just, yeah, ended up selling like, yeah, I think over 100 or so
now. Oh, mate. Yeah, that's wicked. Yeah. Was it pretty cool, like delving into some of your old stuff and like revisiting some old opinions and old ideas?
Yeah, it was actually, because some of those writings were like from 2017, 18. So like a couple years old. And it's like, it's interesting to see and I had to like slightly amend some stuff to kind of bring them up to date with, you know, certain things that I might have had more thoughts on, or you know, update a story that was in there somewhere. But yeah, it was really cool because it was like it almost allowed me to reflect on my own journey, because like I would always write based on my own experience. So like if I wanted to write about, you know, there's a chapter about like facing up to your own struggle, and it's like I was writing about my own struggle and how I faced up to it, right? So it was like interesting to look back at like the stories in a way and really decide like what ones I wanted to go with and what ones I wanted to change and adapt and reread them and stuff like that. So yeah, man, it was cool. Yeah, it was definitely cool.
Yeah, it's always nice to, like, when you get these little opportunities to like self audit yourself, because the mind, it not necessarily plays tricks, but it changes things and things move around and all that sort of stuff. I recently had like an episode on a podcast where I was talking a lot about me, and I got my wife to listen to it because I was like, I don't even know if I'm telling the truth anymore. Like, I'm not trying to lie, but I needed to know that someone who'd lived that experience with me saw it in the same sort of same eyes. Yeah. And do your like your point of view, your process is how you approach things. Does that, do you find a lot of inspiration through that for the people on your podcast? Because you've got an insane amount of episodes and the different types of people and the different things you talk about is absolutely incredible. And there must be some real eye-opening conversations, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, I mean, the main inspiration for me, and I've only really started to reconnect to this recently in like the last couple of weeks, and I've actually right now I'm taking a short break from the podcast so that I can reconnect to this, but the main inspiration for me of starting the podcast is I wanted to hear people's stories. Like, I wanted to hear how people were doing the things they were doing in their life, what was, you know, them, what motivated them, what made them tick, like what were their struggles. Like, I really was interested to hear it for you know, when I reflect back, mainly for myself, because I wanted to learn, because I was in the place of like trying to figure this stuff out for myself. So I wanted to learn from other people, but then I also wanted other people to be able to hear those stories as well. So that was kind of the inspiration. So like, whether, again, whether it's an influencer or an athlete or a footballer or an actor or another podcaster or, you know, a mental health expert or whatever, like, everyone's got a story. Everyone's got a message that for them to, that they can share. And it's like about, for me, just being really curious in those conversations, right? Very curious about that person and really getting into their world and just trying to understand them and just not being scared to ask certain questions. Like, you know, I remember having a conversation with my friend Paul, who, you know, fortunately he's my friend, so it was a little bit easier, but like, his whole story is about his dad committing suicide, and then it set him off on his own journey with mental health, and now he like does a lot of work in the space. And I remember just being able to ask him, like, you know, how did you feel when your dad, you know, took his own life? And it's like, I've had conversations with another friend of mine who has a podcast who interviewed Paul after I did. And he was like, I found it really hard to ask those questions because it's like, it feels really like intimate, right?
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
like not being fearful of that, because like, there's a very strong, powerful message in that for someone who's listening. There's a very strong message in it for the person who you're interviewing, because they can talk about it and express it. And that, if that impacts one person, then for me, that is a huge job done for the podcast. You know, if one person listens to one episode and they take something really powerful from it and they go on to make a positive change for themselves, whatever it is, however big, however small, that is job done, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Relatability is huge.
Yeah.
And you know, something that I'm starting to realize in the more we get into this journey with our podcast is that everybody is a human being first, and everything else is just like secondary, right? So it doesn't matter what you do, whether you are an influencer, whether you're a coach, whether you're a this or a that, like, we've all got brains and they all experience the same type of things, you know? And then it's just what we decide to do after that to go on and make those changes, man.
Yeah. And that's it. And it's like, you know, I always say in the podcast, like, you know, I created this podcast to inspire a positive change. So it's like, if there's someone that you know who you think is going to benefit from this episode, then you can play a part in that cycle of like creating a positive change for someone by sharing this episode with them. Like, it's a very simple thing of like, if you see something, if you hear something, if you watch something, if you read something that you think someone else is going to benefit from, send it to them. It doesn't matter if it's my podcast or your podcast or something you've watched on Netflix or a YouTube video or a page or a chapter from a book that you've read or a paragraph from a book. Like, send it to them, because that one thing might spark something in the other person that is going to benefit them in a very positive way in their life. Like, even if it's very tiny, it can still have a huge impact moving forward. You know, like, you hear people saying like, you know, my life changed when X person said this thing to me. Like, just one line that someone has said to someone can often change someone's life. And it's like, you don't know the power of sharing and what sending something that you have found inspiring that you think another person is going to benefit from, sending it to them, what it can really do for them.
Yeah. I suppose it's just the way the world works with coincidences, man. It lands on the right place at the right time. And it's just that aha moment, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome, man. So what are your plans now? You're taking a break from the podcast you mentioned, Alex. What's next?
I'm going to go back to the podcast 100%. Like that's my baby. Like I think about it every day still. It's so weird. It's been like 4 years, like 230 episodes nearly. Right. Like it's a long time, man. But I just feel like I made an episode about this to kind of explain the decision, but also to like, again, use my decision to inspire someone. Again, coming back to leading by example, like I'm taking a couple of weeks out or a few weeks out to reconnect to the reasons of why I started the podcast, to reconnect to I call the episode going back to basics. Like what does going back to basics mean to me? So connecting to why I started the podcast, connecting to myself, you know, taking some time out from work, just really reconnect to like having time for myself, having fun, doing things on a whim. Like just they're the basics for me that really serve me. So that's where I'm at with the podcast at the minute. I'm still like doing some work with coaching clients. I'm actually taking a week off next week and I'm going down to the Isle of Wight with my girlfriend. And I'm just using the time to replenish and recharge and just to refresh myself and then come back. And, you know, I've already had so many ideas of like people I want to get on the podcast and like gonna, you know, start working with my producer to kind of hit people up and get some guests. And I might even just go through a period of like, all right, who's been, you know, my 10 favorite episodes and just hit those guys up and be like, hey, do you want to come back on a podcast? Like, let's do a part two. And just like, do you know what I mean? Just like sometimes when you're caught in the cycle of it, like the consistency for me has been unreal. Like, you know, I don't want to blow smoke up my own ass, but like 4 years of podcasts and then releasing an episode every week for 4 years. And last year I released two episodes a week, pretty much every week. I think I've only ever missed two release weeks, right? In 4 years. It's like that consistency is insane. But when you're caught up in that cycle, you're not always able to see a different approach or different alternatives that I would never have considered. Like, why don't I just try and get my 10 favorite guests back on the podcast and just do like a mini series within the podcast of like, well, these were my 10 favorite guests. We're going to get them back on and have a part two. Like those things just don't come to mind because you're constantly looking for the next guest. You're constantly looking for how to grow the podcast. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you're constantly like, there's so many things. So yeah, I'm just in that space of like replenishing and then just looking to reapproach things with a fresh mind in a way.
Yeah. And that's a skill in itself, man. You know, just being able to rest, replenish, take that step back. And, you know, and I think it's also something you got to learn because a lot of people, it takes a lot of bravery as well, I think, to step back and rest because a lot of people are like really scared to do it. Hey, really scared to just take that time. Yeah.
100%, man.
Oh, mate, that sounds like a really cool place to wrap up. So thank you very much for your time, Alex. I love that, man. Like,
pleasure, man.
We have some episodes and I always say on the intro, I say, if you're listening to this, get a notepad because there's a little bit of gold in there to take home. And that's, yeah, there's certainly a few bits today for me. So thank you very much, mate. I really appreciate it.
No worries, man. Thank you for having me. Like, it's really a pleasure to be asked on to other people's podcasts because it just allows, again, it's like that thing. If one person can take something from this episode and learn something from it and have some impact in their life, then that's a huge thing, man. Like, you don't need to have 100,000 listeners or 10,000 listeners to have impact, you know? And I think like the fact that you're even making a podcast, much like myself, is like, that's huge enough as it is because like one person can take something from it and that's all that matters.
Yeah, it's all it takes, man. I think if you've got any sort of platform at all, then you have a responsibility to kind of use it, man. Use it for good, right? No, so thank you, Alex. Much, much appreciate it. Cheers, man.
Listening from the Proper Mental Podcast. Please like and subscribe.
Plus 5 stars.